Now, Israel is sending a delegation to Qatar today for talks on a possible Gaza hostage and ceasefire deal. This despite the fact that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described the changes requested by Hamas to a US proposal as unacceptable. Mr. Netanyahu will meet Donald Trump tomorrow at the White House. The US president is expected to put pressure on Mr. Netanyahu to end the devastating 21-month war in Gaza. It's reported that at least 33 Palestinians have been killed in airstrikes on 100 targets in Gaza in the last 24 hours. Belle True is international correspondent with The Independent, and she's on the line from Washington. Belle, can you remind us, first of all, of the key elements of this US proposal that's on the table?
Well, what we know so far, I mean, I've been speaking to different officials who've been briefed on this, is that the core of the proposal talks about around 10 living hostages and potentially around 15 hostages which who've been killed in Gaza. And so they would be released as part of this deal. There would also be an influx of badly needed aid going into Gaza, where we're seeing horrific scenes of Palestinian civilians being killed as they're trying to go to these very dangerous aid distribution sites, and they're desperate for food. And then the sticking point at the moment, which is yet to be confirmed, but which is the key element, is that this 60-day proposal would be the beginning of wider discussions for an end to the 21-month war. And this has been a key red line for Hamas and part of a key red line for Israel. So Israel has said they will not stop the war in Gaza until they have, quote unquote, defeated Hamas, whatever that means to them. On the other side, Hamas has said they will not engage in any communication of any talks if there isn't a serious sort of structure in place to end the war. At the moment, it looks like that is changing. I was talking to Israeli officials, and officials briefed on Israel's position, and they said that Israel was, for the first time in several months, more flexible on the concept of this being the first step towards a longer, if not permanent, ceasefire. And so that is why I think these talks are going ahead. But there is a lot of pressure on Netanyahu from his extreme right members of his cabinet to continue the war. Having said that, there's a lot of pressure from Donald Trump for this war to end. So all eyes will be on that meeting in Washington. Netanyahu is due to land here this evening, and on the mediators in Qatar who are talking at the moment.
Yes, indeed. And what might President Trump say to Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow? And what guarantees would Israel be looking for from the United States?
Well, we expect Donald Trump to put quite a lot of pressure on Netanyahu. We've seen him use very strong language when talking about other ceasefires. We had that extraordinary moment outside the warehouse where he used the F word when he was angry with Israel and Iran for both violating a ceasefire that he declared. So we know that he can put down firm lines and he can use firm language. I imagine he will be putting quite a lot of pressure on Netanyahu, as he has marketed himself as the president who is a peacemaker. And obviously the conflict in Gaza has actually escalated over the last few months. We're seeing devastating death toll from civilians and also a disastrous humanitarian crisis. In terms of guarantees, I mean, this is, you know, what Netanyahu said in his statement yesterday was that Hamas had introduced unacceptable conditions. I think Israel will want to have will want guarantees from Israel that they can have troops remaining in Gaza. I know that's what Israeli officials have told me, that's something for them is a red line, and that they will want to have some kind of overseeing of Gaza that does not involve Hamas. The question remains, of course, you know, will Israeli troops withdraw from all of Gaza? Will they have a presence in Gaza? That's going to be a problem for the Palestinians as well. So we're still at the very nascent stages of this. But for the first time, the chatter that I'm hearing is that there is flexibility and that there may be a movement forward. And that is a small glimmer of hope on a very bleak horizon.
Okay, and just on another story there, Elon Musk forming a new political party in the United States, he says, to give Americans more choice. How is this going down inside the Beltway?
Well, I think there's been quite a lot of people watching with a lot of interest the spectacular breakdown of the friendship, or the bromance, as people call it here, between Elon Musk and Donald Trump, and how that just played out on social media with these two people basically having a full-on wars on social media. This new announcement that, you know, Elon Musk said he wants to break the one-party system has obviously, you know, is being watched very, very closely. closely here. It's particularly after Donald Trump was successful in putting through this mega bill that Elon Musk has taken a massive dislike to. The problem in America is that it really is a two-party state. There is the Democrats and the Republicans. The only way that you can become president is being in one of those two parties. So, you know, people have tried, people have failed. But still, I think people hear the sort of feeling definitely from DC is one where people are reaching for their popcorn and waiting for the next, you know, episode of this spectacular fallout between these two very powerful individuals.
All right. Beltrú, international correspondent with The Independent. Thank you very much for joining us. And after the break, we're going to be visiting some coastal towns in the west of Ireland to see how tourism is coping. Hoping.